And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
Back in 1967, well, most of you probably weren't even born then, there was a movie called Dr. Doolittle. Now, they've remade the movie with Eddie Murphy and then later a version with Robert Downey Jr., but the premise was pretty much the same. It was about a man, a doctor, who could communicate with the animals. And there was a song in the original film called If I Could Talk to the Animals. Today, my friend Tonya and I are going to discuss this very topic. She's an animal communicator, and I know she has some amazing stories to share. Tonya, welcome to the podcast today.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here on your podcast.
It is great to be here discussing this topic because it's something I've never talked about before. I did have a guest who also did animal communication, but we actually were speaking about a different topic at the time. So when we started having a conversation, decided to invite you on the show and really dig into this because, I mean, who doesn't love animals? I mean, especially like dogs and cats. I have cats right now. I've had dogs in the past. And that unconditional love that they give you. I mean, even cats, everyone says cats are standoffish and sometimes they are. But you know what? They'll follow me into the bathroom, all around the house. And dogs, of course, you know, when you come home, they look at you like, you know, this is just the greatest thing in the world that you've walked home and that you're in their life. So I really want to talk about how we can communicate with them better. Tell us a little bit more about your story and how you got into doing this.
Communication has always been something that has been easy for me. I have a degree in business and I've been working with marketing. And I did that for 10 years and I was really this goal-getting career woman and I was really determined on success. And I don't know, I love the fast-paced life and I love my job. But then one day it just became too much. And of course, it built up over the years. But I faced burnout really severely. Like I had so many physical symptoms and anxiety and just totally run into the wall kind of feeling. And at some point, I just realized I cannot do this anymore. And I'm not sure in the States, but I think it's like all over the Western world, we have this identification with our work. So my work as a marketer was such a big part of my personality. So when that kind of disappeared, I was standing there and I didn't know who am I, you know? Yeah. And just quite randomly, actually, I took a course in animal communication. And it was so weird because the feeling I had when I went to this course was that I have been doing this all of my life. It's so easy. And what is this? It really intrigued me on a deep level because I started remembering as a child, you know, that I had been communicating with animals and it just felt really natural. And I remember also a teacher told me that they do courses both for adults, but they also do courses for kids. Okay. So the courses for us adults, they are 4 days, but the courses for kids are only 2 days. And that's because you don't need to unlearn for the kids because they already have this gift. And this is really what is one of my biggest passions in life is that I really want people to realize that I am not the chosen one that have like been bestowed this gift from above, you know, that, wow, you can communicate with animals. No. Everyone have this gift. It's an innate gift to communicate with animals. And I see it all the time in my work as an animal communicator, that animals confirm to their owner that we are communicating. You're just doubting yourself, you know. You're picking up on the signs I give you. And yeah, so it just started out as like a hobby for me. But then over the years, I just realized I'm really passionate about giving animals a voice. I'm really passionate about helping animals and their owners understand each other. I've had more than one person tell me that I need to grow up and find a real job.
Wow.
But hey, I have. Yeah.
You have. And when you're passionate about something, I mean, I can hear it in your voice when you talk about this. I mean, when you're talking about being a marketer, that was like, okay, that was what I did. And I love how you brought up the fact that we do identify with our careers. It becomes our identity in the world today. When we talk about, when someone asks you, who are you? You give your name, but then you usually say, well, what do you do? That's usually the next question. And then you say, well, this is what I do, because that becomes our identity. And I think that's an interesting way to perceive, you know, the world today. We're all individuals, right? We all have our individual personalities. We have our individual skills. We have our gifts. We have those things that we're supposed to give back to the world. And everybody focuses on the thing that we do as a profession, but we do so many more things. And then you brought up children, which is really cool, because when I am working with people on finding their purpose and their passion in their life, you know, I always say, well, a little kid on a playground, you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? They have a long answer and they're always excited about it. And they have that energy and there's just something about it. And I totally understand the communication and the bond between animals and children, because when a child is growing up, I mean, you know, there's the old story of the boy and his dog or the girl. And we had a lot of stories when we were growing up about girls and horses. For some reason, they bonded. There was National Velvet, which was a movie that was around for years. I think Elizabeth Taylor, the famous actress, was in the original one, but there's different stories about that, and there's books and anything having to do with animals. I remember the Homeward Bound movie that Disney put out several years ago about the two dogs and the cat who run away and how they're trying to get home. And it's interesting because they always show the animals communicating with each other and using English, a lot of the movies that you see today, but they have their own method of communicating. And a lot of that, you know, people say, well, it's just instinct. Well, yeah, I think it's instinct, but there's a little bit more to it than that. I really do see them communicating. And if we can learn to communicate with them in their own language, in the way that they communicate, then that will bring our bond stronger. And that will make that relationship that we have, especially with the animals that we have in our life, a much stronger bond. Does that make sense?
That makes totally sense. And I totally agree with you. There is definitely instinct. And I feel like this is, you know, we have our physical appearance, our physical bodies, and our body language, and, you know, things that are important for us physically. Like there's different things for dogs and cats and horses, of course. But communication, how I communicate is through telepathy, which is, I think it's derived from the Greek words tele and pate, which means like a remote feeling. So you're picking up on energy. And you see, animals are really, really good at picking up on energy. They will shy away from people they don't trust, or they will just instantly go and cuddle with someone they have never met before, because they are so good at reading energy. But so are we, you know? We all have this ability to communicate telepathy, to pick up. Like, have you ever entered a room and then you just know the vibe before you talk to anyone, or you think of a friend and then they call or text you? So
exactly.
we do this all the time. And then I think over the years, this has been ridiculed and laughed at. And I don't know, for a long time, I was really afraid of being crazy, you know? Okay, so you lost all the marbles, you know? But I think that it's maybe because society, most of society will view it that way, that it is crazy. I've even had people say, you cannot trust your gut feeling. You need to like use your head, you know? I mean, hey man, if I can't trust my gut feeling, what can I trust, you know?
Right. Well, I was in the world of investigations before I got into doing this. And if you've listen to the podcast, and those listening know, you know, I've told that story many, many times. And one of the things that I used to teach is personal safety. And when I taught that, I would teach people to trust their gut, because a lot of times, just like you just talked about, you'll walk into a room and you feel the energy. And if it's not right, sometimes you just need to get out of that situation. Yeah. And there's a book that I recommend. And again, this is off topic, but it's Gavin DeBecker is the author. The Gift of Fear, it's called. And it talks about how when we have this fear, this warning, we need to pay attention to it. Because there have been so many stories of people who've ignored it, and they've gotten into very dangerous situations by trying to pay attention more to their head, right? Just like, you know, what your friend was saying. In the same way, when we're communicating in the world and we're walking through the world and we pay attention to that instinct that we have, to those feelings and that energy around us, it does help us to communicate. And I do notice just what you said. Animals are great at that. They can always sense the people who are afraid. I had a German Shepherd years ago, and she was like a great dog. Her only flaw, we used to say, was she was a barker. She used to bark at people when they came to the house. But we figured out that the reason she was barking was because she could get attention. So what she would do is someone would come in the house, and she would bark at them. And they would be scared for a second. And I go, no, she's fine. You can just pet her. So then they would pet her. And then she was fine while she was being pet. Well, the minute they would take their hand away, you know, barking again, because she was basically telling them, no, pet me, keep petting me.
And yeah, I'm
yeah, exactly. She just wanted the attention. And, you know, we thought that was funny, because here she was, this dog that people would look at and they'd be like, oh, they'd be scared of her. And I said, no, she's fine. You know, obviously, if she needed to step up and, you know, play the defender, she could definitely do that. But in this particular case, when people were coming to the house, she could always tell. And I've always found that animals do tend to know the people who, you know, you shouldn't be in their life. When someone, like, for example, if a person is in the dating world, let's say, and if their animals don't trust the person that's coming over, I think that's a red flag. They need to
red flag. Yeah.
So let's get into when you tried to make the transition, and when you were in the beginning, and when you were going from being someone who was working in marketing to somebody who is now becoming an animal communicator. How was that? What was that part of the story like?
Oh, it was that was the messy part of my story, which I think is the fun part. Yeah, it was the whole, I think, from caterpillar to butterfly, of course. I think I read so many stories of people going through these things, and it's painful and it's wonderful and it's magical and it's everything in between. And I think in this journey, because I had to go through this healing journey from burnout, but at the same time, I got the time to because I live in Norway and we have a really good welfare system here. So I have been living on welfare. Thank you, State of Norway. I'm really grateful for that. So that actually gave me the opportunity to heal myself, to go to therapy and to discover. I had a lifetime of anxiety, of depression, of all these really unhealthy. Yeah, I struggled. I struggled as an adult. Like, from time to time, I thought life was so difficult, and I couldn't understand how everyone just kept going. Like, I felt so out of place. And just to be given this gift of time to actually look inside, to slow down and, like, find who am I? What is inside of me? And what do I want? Like, I think we rarely get the chance to really find our mission in life. Because so many just, they do what they think is needed, you know? They just take a job and then they stick with the career, like without just, I don't know. It just became increasingly clear to me that my heart was telling me things, that my heart wanted me to do something else, that my heart told me that you're here to be of service, you're here to help people. I always kind of knew this, but I also thought I were helping people when I was working in marketing, you know. But yeah, So it just kind of grew on me. The more courses I did, the more conversations I did with animals. Of course, also the animals have been a huge part of my healing, because animals will always, always mirror us where we are. They will always, like, if you have, take an example. I have many animals that struggle with anxiety amongst my clients. And then it turns out who is really struggling with anxiety, it's the owner. You know?
Right.
And so I think sometimes animals will somehow enhance your struggles. It will be like writing in caps lock, so you kind of get the picture, you know? So it's like clearly visible for you to see. So getting into animal communication became a huge part of my healing, but it also became very obvious to me. It was my heart's mission in life. I've always been very fond of animals. I'm a horse girl. I have a cat. I mean, what would the world be without animals? It's, I don't know. And also, I started with this back in 2016. And then I didn't see so many animal communicators. But today, I feel like there's an animal communicator on every like corner of the street, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, there are getting to be a lot of them. So I feel like it's really time. It's really time for the world to open their eyes and realize that there are more to animals than what we just see and believe. And I believe also science is really good on this field, because it's picking up the pace and showing that animals are sentient beings, you know, and that they have, yeah, they're not just instinctual creatures, you know?
I definitely agree with that. I mean, I've said before, I believe they have a soul. I mean, who's ever had an animal look you in the eye? And especially if we've got our, you know, beloved pets, our dogs, cats, and whatever we have, and had that communication. Because I think someone who's owned animals for a long time, I mean, there's that belief, yes, there's a communication, but then how do we take that communication to the next level? And I think that's where I want to take this conversation. But there are a couple other points, and I think it's really interesting that you brought up burnout, because that's something that I've been working with a lot of people over, you know, the past several months. I've been dealing with a lot of people in the world who are just burned out, and they're trying to follow that path that you talked about, get a good job and make a living. It's this whole thing that we separate our jobs and what we do for a living from who we are as a person. You know, we get up in the morning, we go to work, and we become one person. We work all day, and then we come home, and we become ourselves again. And really, that gives us a disconnect in the world. That gives us a feeling that we're not fulfilling our purpose. We're not pursuing our passion in life. Something like that can totally lead to burnout, especially if it's a job that you don't really love. I mean, I love the fact that you made this transition, and now you're able to do this. And fortunately, you live in a country where it allowed you to make that transition in the beginning, where it was difficult, to now to the point where you're getting clients and you're having income from it, and you're able to really help people to communicate with their animals and to teach them. So now I think I want to transition, I think, into stories that you have of people and their animals, because I think people might be listening now who still might be a little skeptical about this whole thing and say, really, can you really communicate? Can you really talk to them? Can you really have, you know, one-on-one communication? How does that all work? I think the best way to illustrate any of that is to hear the stories, because stories are, I think, the best way to teach. So maybe if you could share some stories, Tonya, about some animals that you've worked with and people that you've worked with along that journey.
I would love to share stories. I have a lot of them. Some of them I think I will keep with me for the rest of my life, because I think animals are our helpers, and they will always do what they can to help us where we are. Yeah, so I had a neighbor where I used to live before. Usually my clients are women, so I've had like a handful only of men contacting me. But I mean, men are warming up to the subject that animals communicate. I love that. And so my neighbor, he has a cat, and he's a truck driver. So he will be gone for maybe 2 days, 3 days, you know. And so he has this cat door, so the cat can go in and out. And he just like puts out enough food and water for her. And so when he comes back, of course, you know, they live together. But he had a problem, and the problem was that she kept bringing mice inside the house, and particularly when he was gone. And it's not so nice, you know, when you've been on the road for a couple of days and you're like looking really forward to coming home and relaxing. And then, you know, you open the door and it just reeks of death.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, like somewhere there's a mouse, you know. And so he started really like, this is becoming a problem. Like I told her she cannot bring them inside. But she just keeps doing it and I'm not there. So what should I do? Should I just lock her outside? I cannot do that. And so he was really skeptical. He said, like, I heard another neighbor tell that you were an animal communicator, but I'm not sure that I believe in this, you know. And so we did the communication. And one of the things that came up was that she had this really queen-like energy. Like she wanted to be treated like the queen of the house. So I was like bringing up this and like, she's really connected to you. And it's like, if she was human, she would probably like be your girlfriend. Like she doesn't want to be neglected or overlooked. You know, she's the queen and she needs to be recognized for who she is. And he confirms this, that yes, she's the queen and like, she has a really big personality and she really enjoys spending time on the couch next to me. And like when we're watching TV and I was like, okay, fine. So far, no problems, you know. And that is also the thing, because like some people will contact me and say, hey, can you get my cat to stop peeing inside? Or can you stop my cat from doing this or that? Like, can I stop you from eating chocolate? Like, you're like, sugar is really bad for you. You should really stop eating chocolate. I mean, I would, if someone told me that, I would probably, I don't know, flip them the finger or something. Not so popular. And the same with animals. You cannot just tell them to do stuff. They're not obedient robots. They have their own soul and they have their own opinions and they have their own needs. And what they do always comes from a reason. They always have a reason for what they do. And so this cat starts talking about how her owner keeps bringing his friends into the house. And I get the feeling they are not his male friends. Like he's bringing female companionship inside the house. And she is actually quite jealous. Not because he's having like girlfriends, but she's feeling jealous because she's like totally invisible. So when he has female company, his cat is like doesn't exist. And this pisses her off. So she will be like, okay, you can have your friends over.
Yeah, the cat's feeling really jealous and neglected and left out and unimportant. And so she like to find a solution to this feeling because she doesn't feel very well about this. She starts bringing her friends inside of the house, meaning her mice friends, you know, but she kills her friends. And I don't think he does. I don't know him that well, but I don't think he does.
Oh, let's hope not.
Hopefully. So, yeah, this is where we get to the root of the problem. And I can tell by the look on his face, because we're doing this in his living room, and I can tell by the look on his face that he's like, really? Are you serious? And I'm like, yes, I'm dead serious about this. This is how she feels. She needs to be recognized as the queen she is. And she needs to know that she has a special place in your heart, even though you have company. Okay? So I can tell her that it's a problem that she brings the mice inside, but she will need to get something back. Like there, this is like a
trade-off.
Like a trade-off, you know? What's in it for me? Like, why should I give up this? Why should I give up chocolate, right? And I leave him with this this information. And I think it's like 3 or 4 weeks later where he sends me a text message and it's like, you're not going to believe this. She has brought zero mice inside the house. It was like a huge problem. She brought a lot of mice inside and she hasn't like there. I haven't even seen them on my doorstep. There's zero mice. And so I'm like, okay, so how does that work for you? And he's like, yeah, I believe now. I believe you now. And I've started treating her like the queen because she is my queen. And you know, so I was like, okay, good. Good for you. Really good.
So when you were having this conversation, I guess, for lack of a better word, with the cat, I mean, you know, the cat obviously didn't start speaking English to you or or in your language or any language other than cat. So how did you know that the cat was talking about this situation, about being the queen, and about the fact that he had his friends coming over and so forth? You know, what told you this? This is kind of where I'm digging into. So how did you get that communication? Was it just something you just sensed?
I think every animal communicator have their particular skill set. The animals that I communicate with will kind of play with everything that I've learned and everything I know. So I'm really good at picking up on emotions. I will feel them physically in my own body. I will feel physically in my body where it's pain, if there's tightness or illness. So feeling is one of the things. But it's funny this you say, like, the cats don't speak English. But actually, I kind of hear it like that. But I could also say to myself that, oh, it's just like my own head. I'm just making it up. It's just because I think this is maybe, and this is for my clients also, the biggest obstacle. It's the doubt. The doubt that what we get in is actually real. We believe it's imaginary, it's fantasy. So I believe, like, animals have a lot of ways to communicate with us. It can be images. You can see a video in your head. It could be even like a memory of your own. But when you describe your memory to the owner, it will make sense for them. You know, so like what I pick up from an animal will sometimes mean something different to me than it does to the owner. And it's always what the owner perceives and gets out of it that is, of course, important, because no one knows your animal like you do, you know? Like, right. No one can read anything about your animal, because I think we are all so deeply connected with our animals, and we are in communication with them, even though we have the doubt that we're not. And I spent most of my life wishing I had the ability. Animals communicate in very different ways, and it's how we pick up on the things. I mean, what are your strong suits? How will you... I mean, when I started doing this, I started doing it in writing. And so my teacher would say, add nothing and retract nothing. Like, what comes down on the paper is what comes down on the paper, and it's from the animal. So now I don't do that anymore. But I mean, it can be sentences. Sometimes I can hear a song playing and I will be like, start singing the song, and the owner will be like, oh my God, I listen to that song all the time. Or it can be, oh my God, you're describing how I've been feeling the past 6 months. And so these are all like to show the depth of what an animal will perceive from you, because it's so easy to say that, oh, they just eat and sleep and like, get cuddles. No, they know who you are. They know deep down who you are.
They probably sometimes know you.
Yeah, they probably know you better than you do. You know, they know you, they see you in full, and your entire energy. And so that also means that it could come up with a lot of sensitive stuff during conversations with animals. And they are so different, you know, because I have some animal communications where the animal will only talk about itself. Like, it loves the green ball and it would really like some more snacks, or it would like more playtime and be really into that. And other animals will not talk about themselves at all. They will only like focus on the owner. And I think a lot of the times when they do that, it's because the owner find themselves in situations when they struggle. They're having a hard time very often. And then the animal will be like, I need to help you now. And I'm going to use my voice to help you. And yeah.
That's beautiful, Guy. I really believe that they pick up a lot of that energy, and they know what's going on. They know when we're happy. They know when we're sad. And they can always tell that. One of the things that I found are they can always tell when you're going to do something regarding them. And the example is, my cats always know when it's the day to go to the vet, because they don't want to go to the vet. They can't stand going to the vet. And they can always tell. They always know to try to run away and hide. I mean, without even seeing the carrier. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you bring the carrier out that, oh, okay, we're going to go, and then they go to hide. But before you do that, it would be nice to be able to communicate with them, look, this is for your own good. I know you don't like it. Yeah. And sometimes they'll be making all kinds of noise in the car when we're on the way over. And my cats, I can't cut their nails because they just, no. They will not allow that. They will, they refuse. But when I take them to the vet, they allow them to do it because they're scared, I think, there. And I think they allow the vets and the technicians and so forth. They don't give them a problem. But if I tried to do the same thing, no, I'd probably be, you know, have all kinds of cuts and scars all over my body trying to do that. It would be nice to be able to say, you know, to my one cat, hey, Mittens, I said, just let me cut your nails because you're getting them caught on everything. You're getting them stuck and you're going to hurt yourself. If you let me do it, then we wouldn't have to go through this and go to the vet where you don't like it to begin with. So I guess if I could talk to my cats, that would be the one thing that I would like to at least let them know that, hey, I'm doing this to help you. It's to make your life better. And I don't want to have to take you to the vet. I want to be able to do this at home.
Yeah.
What would you say? How can I talk to my cats and let them know that, hey, trimming their nails is for their own good?
I think you have like a really valid point here, which is definitely in the cat's interest. Like, we do this at home and you don't have to go to the vet. I think that's like your best selling point for the cat. Like, just stick with that. And I would also, if I were you, I would just like kind of check in before you're doing this and when you're doing this, where are you emotionally and mentally? Because if you have like an ounce of doubt, if you are kind of feeling afraid or oh no, the cat might, and then you have these images in your head of what can go wrong, you're actually sending that message to the cat. I find it to be really helpful when you do communications to really focus on what do you want. Like, instead of focusing and thinking about and feeling about the things that you're afraid of, I would imagine like really going into how do you want it to look. I want you to be here with me and we're going to cut your nails and everything will be fine, you know. We're going to do it calmly and I'm not going to hurt you, you know. We're going to go through with this and just like picture the entire process. But I think where you are at is so important. And I did this myself. I don't cut the nails of my cat, but I he's long haired. He's a Norwegian forest cat. So he will get knots in the fur if I don't brush him every day. Mm-hmm. And I don't brush him every day. I want to do better, but I'm human. And sometimes, sure, you know, so I have bought this machine to cut his fur. Instead of taking him to the vet and drugging him and like giving him a full-blown haircut, I have learned how to do it myself. And in the beginning, I was like really stressed out, fearful, and just like, oh, should I hold him tight? Like, how do I do this? And it didn't work out. And I was like, oh my God, I need to take him to the vet. I need to drug him. And it's going to be like, oh, I don't want that.
No, I get it.
That, yeah. And so I was like, okay, so what? I'm an animal communicator. I can fix this. You know, I can do it. And so I started checking in with myself. Where am I? And yeah, started like really telling him, we're going to do this. I'm going to take this one knot. I'm going to be really careful and just take the knot and not any more fur than I need to. And like, because he loves his fur. He's a Leo and like appearances matter. And yeah, I mean, I cut him now and I can like take big ones, small ones. There's never a problem anymore. Like, he will lie down and have it done. And I just have zero doubt about it. Zero.
So it's all in your energy and how our energy goes into the situation. You know, if we're fearful and doubtful, then the animals are going to pick up on that. And
definitely.
When we're much more confident and when we come with it, that loving confidence, then pick up on that. So I'm definitely going to have to try that. This has been really an interesting discussion. If you could offer maybe three things, just three simple things that would help someone who has pets to become better animal communicators, what would three things be maybe that you could leave us with today?
First of all, just believe it's possible. I mean, I had a coach once and he said, you need to penetrate the fantasy layer. Like, so when you're doing readings for people or you're reading animals, okay, so maybe some of it is just something you make up.
but not all of it will be, you know, some of it will actually be real. I mean, 40% or 90%, we don't know, but we have the ability to pick up on energetic communication. And so, I mean, it starts with believing, really starts with believing. And also, I think that secondly, the world's greatest football talent will never become the world's greatest football player without practice. So you can have like all the talent you want, and definitely some will have a bigger talent for this than others, but no matter how big your talent is, you will always be able to learn to communicate with your animals. And so it will be helpful if you can practice with someone, if you have a friend that also have animals, or I mean, if you can get the feedback. Feedback has been like really big for me. And third, I don't know, connect with your heart. I mean, I believe they are heart to heart conversations. In our society where we are really head based, like the logical mind, you don't really need that in these situations. Your logical mind will have a lot to tell you, but like try to quiet your mind and connect from a heart place and set the intention. I feel like setting intentions are really, really powerful. So if you have the intention to connect with your animal and to have like crystal clear messages, start simple, you know, but focus on setting the intention on having crystal clear feedback.
I love it. So basically, the first step is to believe. We have to believe. We have to have that faith that this is possible. All things are possible. And when you start to believe you can do it, then that will help shape the energy that you're going to project to the animal. And then practice. Keep going. You know, it may not work well for you the first few times, but the more you practice, the better you get at it. Just like your example about someone who plays football. They don't start out being a great player, but the more they practice, the better they get. And I love the last one there is connecting with your heart. Definitely. We have to be able to connect with our heart and feel that connection. Just like when we're around people, we have the same thing, right? You know, sometimes we'll be talking to somebody and it's like, okay, whatever. But then there are some people that we talk to, and as we're communicating, we can just feel that connection. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever had this situation, Tonya, but if you've had a conversation with somebody and you're in the middle of that conversation, you just feel like there's this bond and there's this cord of light maybe between you. And when we can feel that connection with other people, we can feel that connection with our animals as well. And when we have that heart connection, that's when the magic can happen. So this has been an awesome discussion. I would love to talk more, but I know we're getting out of time. But if people were interested in reaching out to you and maybe how you could help them, I know you live like in Norway, so I'm not sure if you can communicate with and help people communicate with their animals over like Zoom or on the internet or from distance, or if you have to be there in person. But if people wanted to at least reach out and learn more about what you do, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, well, I have a Facebook page, The Animal Psychologist, and I also have a group where you can join and learn more to, it's called Understand Your Animal on a Spiritual Level. Yeah, and so telepathy is like from a distance. So I do it through the phone or over video or, I already have international clients and I would love to connect with people. And if it's just to help people realize their own skill set, I would love to. Yeah.
Well, I will post that information in the podcast notes so people can reach out. Before we close out, then I always ask my guests this question, and that is simply this. What does being purposely positive mean to you?
I feel like that is like something that is, there's so much inside of it. But the first thing I was thinking about when you said it, it's, I feel it has to do with gratitude. I feel like when I have a grateful approach, everything seems to kind of work out. Everything is kind of tinted in a more golden shade. I don't know. I'm a single mother and I'm alone with my 20-month-old daughter now. And some days are not so much sleep. And like, I will be like, oh, no. Oh, like, this is just too much. And then I always take the time to sit down and focus on what am I grateful for right now. And then it's like suddenly it's, oh my God, I have everything. I actually have everything. And then it makes me get through the difficult days. So, yeah.
Gratitude makes you get through the difficult days. I love that attitude because that is so true. I've always said that the problem we have in society is we focus on the expectations, what we expect from people, what we expect from others, even what we expect from our animals, right? We focus on the expectation. I expect my life should be like this. I'm this old, and by this time in my life, I should have this, 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 and this. Well, maybe we don't have that, but if we step back and turn our expectations into our appreciation, that's when everything can change. And that's when we can have a beautiful life. Tonya, I appreciate you and our discussion. And those who are listening, they don't know, but your daughter has been making appearances in the video today. And she's sitting there looking up at us and with her little smiling face there. She looks a little tired now, but it's been nice having this conversation. And I would definitely love to hear more stories some point on your journey of communicating with the animals, because I just think that's such a beautiful thing to be doing in the world today. And I think we need more people. So the fact that it's a growing trend to see more animal communicators, I think that's also a great thing. But thank you again for being on the podcast today. I again appreciate our friendship, and I appreciate the discussion.
Me too, Tony. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. I really love the conversation. It's always fun to spread the word on animal communication. And if I only kind of met one person today that reached out through your podcast, then it's really good. So thank you for also being open-minded, Tony. I love it.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there listening and have an animal in your life that you'd like to communicate with. Well, if that's the case, reach out to Tonya and she'll be able to help you with that. But if you're looking to communicate with your inner self, I have a resource. It's an ebook called Strive to Thrive. You can download it at TonyWCoaching.com for free and start living in the direction of a purposely positive life.